Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the base number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Mason Wazwaz, who can press record on a recorder occasionally.
We are now recording this exact thing for the second time, and it's going to be even better than ever. Okay, let's get right into it. Maysoon.
Yeah.
There is going to be an emergency rummage sale at City Limits Gallery. That is at 300 Jefferson Street in Oakland. And it's going to be Friday, which is Black Friday, supposedly, November 25th from 12 to 5 p.m. And there's going to be artwork by all kinds of Bay Area artists. And all the proceeds go to StandingRock.org, the Standing Rock Medic and Healing Council, and the Sacred Stone Camp Legal Defense Fund, all to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. So please go to that. There's going to be all kinds of art that you can buy for super cheap and then resell for millions of dollars because it's really legit art by amazing artists.
Maybe just wait a year or something.
Okay, Maysoon, what do you got going?
I got, so in response to Standing Rock and the Dakota Access Pipeline, there is an artist group, a couple artists I know are driving out there in mid-December to protest with the people that are there. And they are potentially looking for two more people to drive with them to help sort of offset the costs of getting out there. So yeah.
If you want us to hook you up with them, email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Or call us 419-351-6606, or you can text that number, and we'll do a triage, an overall assessment of whether or not you're a serial killer, and then we'll hook you up with those people.
I also want to say that since they're driving out there, I think they're going to be carrying a lot of supplies for the people who are there currently.
Wicked. So you can give.
So if you're not going to go with, maybe you can send them with 10 tarps or something. You know, it's the winter time right now. It's fucking freezing. So they need a lot of support, and they actually need a lot of medical supplies as well. What else? Oh, yeah. So I went to a legal observer training today. Do you know what
that is?
So
now you can look at all the stuff going on at protests and see if the police are violating people's civil rights.
Basically, my job is to observe the police. Not even really to observe the protesters, but to observe the police and to take notes on any potential issues that come up and try to write down their names and their badge numbers. If anyone gets arrested, I can ask for their name and I send in call the person who's gotten arrested, call their name in so that the National Lawyers Guild can track them through the system and make sure they have a lawyer to protect them.
Oh, and listeners, if they're also interested in getting that training and doing observing,
yeah,
they can go to a workshop and also get a hat.
If you go to, I'm sure there's information on local trainings with the National Lawyers Guild at the San Francisco
chapter.
I'll
have a link for that in the underworld.
Yeah.
So this week we have a lovely interview with Gilbert and Kathleen from Shapeshifter Cinema.
Woohoo! Love those two.
In our own Oakland, California.
Hey, in our own Interface Gallery in Oakland, California.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome.
Let's take a gentle listen. We're out here at Interface Gallery in Temescal Alley, the little slice of Portland right out here in Oakland, California.
You say Temescal?
Temescal.
I say Temescal.
You would know.
What do you guys say?
I say Temescal.
No, yeah, sure, Temescal.
What's good? Mezcal for today.
Is that the liquor?
No, mezcal is the liquor.
Anyhow, point is we're talking to Gilbert Guerrero and Kathleen Quillian from Shapeshifter Cinema. I'll say right off the bat, you guys have Shapeshifter Cinema is the second Sunday every month from 8 to 9.
That's right.
Is that correct? I want to get that right ahead. So if people listen to nothing else, they'll know that.
At the Temescal Arts Center, I don't know if you said that, but every second Sunday, show up at the Temescal Arts Center, 7:30 for a reception and beer. You can meet the artists, and then shows start at 8.
And by the way, Gilbert makes the beer about 95% of the time.
Talk about what Shapeshifter Cinema is.
Well, it is a series that we've been running for 4.5 years now, and we focus on artists who work in the field of expanded cinema, which is kind of a catch-all phrase, but in general, it means performative cinema. And so most of the artists that we have, we invite the visual artist, which is generally a filmmaker or video artist, and then they will find a collaborator or bring their collaborators that they work with already who work with sound or music or performance or, you know, other creative fields. Well, the show is run for about an hour, and so we generally like to have them perform live and improvised as much as they can, but we pretty much leave it up to them what they want to show. Sometimes they'll show older work, sometimes they'll show other people's work, sometimes they'll show new work. A lot of the artists will make brand new work, but we're open to whatever it is they want to express.
So then maybe a lot of times, if the filmmaker, the video artist is really shy or has a lot of anxiety, maybe they don't have to really be up there with their body.
Yeah, in most cases, the filmmaker is not up there with their body. In some cases, they are. One artist that comes to mind is Jeremy Rourke, who is a rising superstar. Not even rising. He's pretty much there. He's here. And he is very prolific, and he likes to play with space and time. So he will put himself in the image, and he will also put his body physically into the image as it's projecting onto him. So he's playing with location and time and space, and it's very mind expanding to watch it, because often he will go and he will record himself in the area that he is going to present in, and so then it's like several different layers of him and the space that are sort of interacting at the same time. Yeah.
Ever had a shy artist or encountered that? I don't know if that has anything to do with what we focus on, or I mean, just trying to think, like, who would be the shyest artist that we've had so far? Other shows, artists will sit behind the projectors, right, and really just act as operators. But at the same time, their personalities are so big. Like, I'm thinking of Sweet Tooth, who did a show with us, which was great. He brought dancers, actually, so they were up there at the front of the room, kind of with the projections, and he's back there kind of operating the projectors. And I kind of think of him as being soft-spoken, really, very, like, he's not like a big, loud personality, but he definitely has a presence, you know.
Do you work with mostly local filmmakers?
Yes, but we have definitely had several artists who have contacted us saying that they're on in some kind of tour and they want to come show with us when they're in the Bay Area. So we're not closed to artists from elsewhere, but just because of our resources and our mom and pop kind of operation, and because there are so many artists in the Bay Area who work with expanded cinema, we generally focus on local.
Yeah, it is a way, in a sense, too, to almost put a stake in the ground and say this moment is happening here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. Let's make that clear. This series is about expanded cinema. If this ends up on Wikipedia or something in 20 years, like, we'll have made that little mark in the book there. So the Bay Area is cool. We've established that, you know, there are a ton of artists who are kind of working in expanded cinema or have some notion of it in their work. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this, you guys have, Shapeshifters has been around since 2012. Do you have, is there an archive or anything of the works that you've, or the people you've presented since then, or?
Yeah, our website is that to a certain extent. We have mostly still images of the artists performing for us, and then, you know, we keep all the descriptions of the shows that they presented, but we don't actually have an archive that's public of the, you know, moving image, yeah, documentation of their work. Mm-hmm. A lot, actually, we've been using Facebook as our extended archive for whatever reason. It's just kind of easy to do, and it's a good way to, you know, get more interest. Mm-hmm. So we put most of our photographs on Facebook.
What was happening in 2012 that made you guys come together with this idea?
That's a very good question. I think that our official answer is that it just kind of happened. We've been thinking and talking about opening up a space to show cinematic work in this neighborhood already, and we're sort of looking at different spaces, and because we both worked for ATA for a long time, he still does. So at the same time, we had been working with Suzanne LaRue with Temescal Street Cinema. He was actually carrying the tote bag that said Temescal Street Cinema on it.
Just advertising it.
Yeah.
Always advertising. I mean, that's
and we went into Arbor one day, and the manager happened to be who was behind the counter. He said, oh, do you know anything about local cinema? Because we've been talking about starting a cinema night here, and would you be interested? And we said yes and yes. So we started doing this, Shapeshifters, there at Arbor. Mm-hmm. And we did it there for 6 months. But it didn't work out for a variety of reasons. And right as we were thinking about what to do next, we were invited by the manager of the Temescal Art Center to bring the series over there, and so we did, and so we've been there since then, for about 4 years we've been there, and it definitely works a lot better than taking over someone's cafe and saying, everybody shut down your computers, we're going to show you some weird art. Yeah, which is essentially what happened, because people were just like, I'm trying to work on my term paper, like, what am I looking at? Yeah. So it sort of just kind of happened organically.
We were, you said that in the beginning, we were actively looking at spaces, thinking, like, we could take over one of these places and start a cinema. Kind of with the thought that, you know, we're going back and forth to San Francisco and doing a whole bunch of stuff at ATA, which is great, but we live in Oakland, and Oakland should have its own scene too, right? So that was part of it, like, how do we do something about the Oakland scene, bring something to that, establish something in the Oakland scene. So I feel like we've been kind of inching along. We've gotten help along the way too. So Arbor was really great to us in the beginning, really helped us get started. And then when we kind of grew out of that, really went to Temescal Arts Center. They've been really good to us and give us a great deal and let us pick whatever night of the month that we wanted, pretty much, which Sundays are great because we don't want to compete with all the other stuff that's going on out there.
When we first started, we were competing with Mad Men, and that was kind of a challenge.
Nightmare.
But we still managed to get some good crowds in. And now that that's over, you know, now they're pouring in.
Fucking Mad Men. What are some challenges you guys have had to deal with? Because it is an unusual, like, form.
I mean, I guess the biggest challenge is funding, but that's, you know, a perennial challenge in the art world. So it's kind of unnecessary to harp on, but I think we've had an endless supply of artists to work with, and we've never had a problem bringing in audiences.
Yeah. Never had anybody set a fire?
No.
None of that.
No,
not
no.
Animals.
I mean, there was, some pretty physical shows with a lot going on, but not like where anything ever went wrong with what they were doing. Greg Pope, kind of thinking about him using his like power tools to like destroy film as it was going through the projector. In that little space was great because it just got really loud and there was light kind of all over the place. It wasn't, you could smell the film kind of like,
that's kind of nice.
Kind of burning in there. Yeah. There was the fog machine too that just people got annoyed more than anything else with that one, but.
guess, yeah, technical challenges are always a problem when you're working with technology, but he's the one that has to deal with that. So
and
don't they explode?
What? Doesn't what
if
explode?
You do set, like spark or set the fire to a film, doesn't no, it explode?
Not back anymore. In the 1800s.
Okay, it's 2016.
Yeah, with it. No, film is plastic now. If it anything, it just sort of melts.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Nitrate film is, I think, what nitrate. We're talking about. The nitrate film is the kind of film that explodes spontaneously.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we don't have any of that.
Nitrate film in here.
No, Maysoon. Mm-hmm. Come on, Maysoon. Okay.
Kathleen is an active filmmaker. Cinema. And what do I call it?
Maker.
Artist.
I'm a maker. Yeah.
Do you collaborate with musicians and sound?
I do. It's actually something that I'm thinking about actively right now, which is I did a collaborative project with a group of artists. There were four filmmakers? Anyway, four or five of us filmmakers, and then we were commissioned by Lisa Mezzacapa, who is a bass player, and she ran her own series called Mission Eye and Ear for a long time. And so she decided to do this collaboration with us and her group of musicians. And so she had the filmmakers obviously making the films, and then she was going to score it. She had in mind more of a collaborative process, at least from my perspective. We're actually going to talk about it on Monday, but she was hoping for more of a back and forth between the filmmaker and the musician. Mm-hmm. And I think what I gave her was I just gave her my films, and I said, here, you make the music. And literally the day that it showed, I gave birth to a baby. So that's why I haven't actually, I mean, it was scheduled. It wasn't just spontaneous. But so we haven't had a chance to actually go back and discuss this until now. She actually wants to do more performances and also make a DVD, and so she wants to sort of deconstruct everything. So I'm very interested in hearing more about her perspective as a musician, because at least in my mind, I unfortunately always think of the music as sort of secondary, which is not right at all. But she, you know, but the musicians obviously have a different angle, which is that they want to work with the image, and so I'm not a musician, so I don't know how they, you know, how they process everything. So I'm very interested to.
But how do you do that? I mean, if I can ask a question, because you're gonna, you know, you do a ton of research, put together all the assets, whatever you need to put the film together, and then you spend hours and hours upon hours shooting every frame. I don't see where the musician comes in, because they can't see anything before you actually make it, and it's already made.
Well, that's what's so interesting to me. That's why I sort of think of the music as sort of like the thing that you tack onto the image, but obviously they have a different perspective. So I don't, I mean, I will find out and get back to you.
Like, in my opinion, like just in watching film in any, whether it's a Hollywood film or a locally made film, I feel like music and sound has such a huge impact on what you as a viewer take away from it. Like, it's creating a narrative for you along with the visual. So it's interesting to me that as a filmmaker, like, there's so much detail and time put into making a film, and yet there's like a willingness to kind of like let it go and like give it off to someone else to add their own story to it. It's like a really interesting collaboration, but not collaboration in some ways. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's sort
absolutely.
Of like
that's how we work now, the two of us, Gilbert and I, is that we were more of a collaborative team where we would do the project start to finish together, but various things like children and mortgages got in the way of that. So I sort of went off and started following my own muse, which ended up being animation. So I've made several animations. I guess he's made the soundtrack to all of my.
Has it been all of them?
Several, no, three. In my mind, I have this whole, you know, visual thing going on in my mind, and then I don't know what I want it to sound like a lot of the times. And so I will give it to him, and he will create the soundtrack, and it brings, like, you know, it's like half of the final piece, and it brings a whole new dimension to what you're actually watching, and it's totally amazing to me.
Yeah, so I will say I love that chance that I get when Kathleen's got this. Usually it's a draft of the work. Maybe there's some shots that are missing, or but I'll just kind of go away into the basement or something and grab all the weird gear that I have. Contact mics are like one of my favorite things to work with. Old records or kind of like, yeah, and then process all that and turn it into something where I'm looking at the images and I'm trying to, I don't know, I'm seeing certain arcs in the images, and at those moments I want to have the sound do something to go along with the arc that I'm seeing in the whatever's happening in the whatever scene. I feel that too, that I'm transforming it into something different, which may be completely off and not what Kathleen expected or thought she was going to get, but the work's not going to be very good if you're trying to please someone else at the same time.
Yeah.
So just going away and trying to make something, or just make good work is...
I think we're answering our own question here, though, about working collaboratively with between visual artists and musicians, is that obviously we have a more of a chance to discuss things since we live together. Yeah. I can be like, oh, you know, this draft, I like this, but I don't really like this area. Can you go and tweak that? And he will.
You guys have any tips for people that collaborate? Maysoon and I are always interested in how people make their collaborations work without killing each other.
I mean, we used to say we what independently collaborate. We'll just go off on our own directions and then come back together again, see if it works, and then go back off separately and do our things and then put it back together and then see if it works. Yeah, we don't work together very well, really.
Yeah, in real time.
At all.
Yeah, no. At a certain point, we had to choose between our artistic collaboration and our romantic collaboration. And you can see which one won out. So yeah, it's definitely... Out.
You guys are still together?
Yeah,
and
we are.
Doing Shapeshifters.
We're also married. And,
and have children.
But,
and,
yeah. Before... But, yeah.
Letting it all out.
Originally, we were collaborating together from beginning to end. But, you know, that was really, really difficult. After a certain point, and we kind of made our own version of Marina Abramovich and Ule's
departure.
Yeah, on the Great Wall of China. It was a lot less huge than that. The piece that we made for the Headlands, where it was called A Conversation, and we decided to each have our own. It was a 3-slide projector piece, and so we each had control of one projector, and then the middle part was just text. And so we were providing the images for the two on the outside, and then the text was in the middle. And so we had our own sort of narratives going, and then the text was just sort of random text, which we had a hard time deciding what to use. But anyway, so it was just sort of like text fragments, and then it was up to the viewer to sort of make sense out of these you know, the two different batches of images and how they work together, if they do or not, and with the text. And that was kind of the last piece that we fully collaborated on. And so now our version of collaboration is for me to do one thing and then ask him to do the other thing. And that's been working out really well for us.
I really like tapered off a lot too since, I don't know if it's been since then. And yeah, I don't really claim to be an artist anymore, which I did before. My creative energy has really gone into beer making.
Oh, yes.
Really. So, and I've been trying to do all these different things with it, and I bring beer to Shapeshifters, but I feel like I'm playing a part in creating an experience. It's part of like Shapeshifters now, in a way. People come kind of wondering what kind of beer there's going to be, I guess, or what the new beer is, or because we're always experimenting. But yeah, it's a weird, there was a moment where I just had to kind of say, oh, well, yeah, I'm not really making art anymore, but I am making all this beer, like, that's a creative kind of experience for me. And I haven't really gone off the deep end with this yet to say like, oh, beer is like my art, or that's my like media. It's like grains and hops. It sounds awful. Really. Here in hipster kind of central, yeah. You know.
Can you make cheese beer? Might be the dumbest question I've ever asked.
Because he has actually made popcorn beer, which is sounds like it's going in the same direction. So.
Cool.
Wait, what does that mean? Popcorn beer.
Did it taste like popcorn?
Oh, popcorn flavored beer?
Popcorn is like part of the base, yeah.
Oh.
And then he served it with salt.
What?
But not butter.
But really, you can make beer out of like anything. Carrots is another thing that a guy I met was using. He was using carrots as part of the sugars that they, part of the fermentable sugars, I guess, the starches in the carrots, as a way to reduce the carbon footprint of the beer that he was making.
We always like to ask our interviewees, just, is there anything else you would like listeners to know?
We'll plug our December show, which is Anna Geyer, I think is her last name. We just met her virtually, but she will be showing her multi-projector. I think she works exclusively with 16mm now anyway, so she works with like two or three or four different projectors and a live musician. What is that, December 13th, I think, the second Sunday in December. Oh, and then our January show is students of Allison Holt, who teaches experimental media to people on the autism spectrum, which should be really, she's showing the work of some of her students, which will be a different direction than anything we've done before. And that's in January.
Yeah, people should come to the shows, and we'll have beer there, and people should bring your own cup. Because why waste, like, yeah, valuable plastic? And bring other stuff, too. And just be weird, and let's talk about weird stuff there. Because that's, for us, it's all the shows are free, too. We're not, yeah, they're all free. The beer's free. Popcorn is free that we have there. The water is free. It's meant to be, a place for people to come together and meet each other, meet artists, meet us. I want to meet more people who have like other weird ideas.
And we want people to come who are just might be interested in experimental film or expanded cinema, who don't quite know, who just want to try it, just want to try it out. We don't want them to have to spend $10 and be like, oh, I'm not into this, you know, want my money back. Yeah, we want to be inclusive.
I love that. That's good. Well, thank you guys so much for spending your very valuable lover's time with us. And as always,
congratulations.
Okay, Maysoon, I hope you're staying, keeping your head above water during the holiday season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trying to. Yeah.
No big news with the Rhodes family.
No?
We're all pretty much aligned in our views.
Oh, shit.
It's just me, Katie, and my mom and dad.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. None of the weird fringe.
None of the fringe elements.
Family elements.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's good. You guys making snowmen out there?
We made one snowball and then all the snow melted.
I love it. There was enough snow for one snowball and it was awesome while it lasted, and that's that.
That's right. That's right.
My mom's coming into town.
Aren't you guys going to Yosemite?
We're
gonna
go to Yosemite.
That's awesome.
I don't know why I said it that way. We're going to go for two nights. It's going to be fun. I hope that it's really cold. We're going to just like hang out by the fire and listen to the piano player at the lodge.
Oh,
drink some hot cocoa, maybe a martini.
And enjoy nature for the last few moments that we still have it.
Yeah. Enjoy the national park for the last few moments that the government's still funding it. Exactly. Yep, fucking yep, fuck. Yep, yeah.
Well, on that very somber note.
We love you. Take care of yourself. Hang in there. We're here for you.
Yes. Yes. And I want to also thank listeners that have been, we've had a few listeners write in thanking us.
Oh, cool. You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, because you make this whole thing worth it.
Yeah, it's true.
Also, P.S., the East Bay Express is hiring, and I'll have a link to that in the underworld.
They have lots of, there's lots of positions opening, actually. All sorts of things.
Yeah, all kinds, any kind.
Staff writer, arts editor.
Yep, art director.
If you like advertising, there's a job for you, too.
Yeah, cool. Not sure what that's about, but they've got it. You probably mainly just you talking to different weed dispensaries.
Right, exactly. Oh my god.
And from the bridge
to the other bridge
to the island in between, this has been
congratulations Pine Tree.